DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We now join Monsignor John Esseff reflecting on the third Sunday of Easter.
These Sundays after Easter are powerful examples of how the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospels go back and forth with the help of the epistles. And that is that first church, the Acts of the Apostles, that's presented to us in the Sundays after Easter is such a powerful preparation for Pentecost, for the church, for those members who have recently been brought into the church, and for the church itself, and how this re-evangelization, or that is to take place within the community, these Sundays between Easter and Pentecost are powerful examples how the liturgy can bring us to this re-evangelization. I would presume that so many of the parishes, when it has had the Lenten 40-day experience and Easter and the introduction into the community of new members, that there would be an excitement there about the power and grace of the liturgy to touch my life and to introduce me more deeply to the person of Jesus Christ, who has suffered, who has died, and is risen. In the church, in dramatizing during Lent, the suffering and death of Jesus, and on Easter, the resurrection, that what has happened in the head, that is in Jesus, can now and will happen in the body, that is the community, in the members of the church. So the baptized members who have been received and confirmed into the church, the rite of Christian initiation of adults, that they have received the sacraments of baptism, of confirmation, and then the Eucharist, to identify them in the liturgical expression with Jesus, now centers and focuses on my suffering, my dying, and my rising. Therefore, I give witness to and manifest in my life how Jesus is suffering and dying and rising in me. When I was talked to a young man yesterday, and he's a junior in high school, an excellent athlete. I think he took his SATs when he was in seventh grade. Brilliant. And I think he got something like almost 1,200 in seventh grade. So he has this magnificent mind, great athletic ability, and so suffering in himself because he feels himself so detached. And here's a highly sensitive kid. Now, this can happen to 16, 17-year-olds so easily, falling in love with a girl and then finding out that she wants to cool for a while, and then he finds out that she's dating another guy. And, oh, wow, the crushing. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of suffering and death of resurrection that can take place in you in high school, what the pains of young people sometimes. Actually, they found a journal of this young man. That's why he came to see me, because he's suicidal. The pain that you can go through. And I think sometimes we think, well, young people, they don't have any problems. Maybe that's why they drink so much. Maybe that's why they take a drug. This pain that could be in them because they feel so alienated, so alone. The sufferings of young people today are so misunderstood. And what they're looking for is Jesus. What they're really searching for is Christ in them. The drug, the alcohol will never or sex will never satisfy. They're all escapes. They're all to dull the pain. But to face the cross in your life, in everyone's life, the young girl who says, I am going to be a virgin, I will live my chastity, and I will pledge myself to it. And sometimes she feels like, well, I can't get a date. The boys won't go out with a girl who is so pure. The kinds of lies that young people can fall into. The suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has gone out into you. This is what you're committed to by your baptism, by your confirmation, and by your reception of communion. You are one with Christ. And so you're manifesting the Paschal mystery in your life. Now, the Acts of the Apostles shows in their lives that these poor, backward, frightened fishermen, once they receive the Holy Spirit, which is what Pentecost is that we're looking forward to, once they received it, they become these charged up, magnificent witnesses of Jesus Christ. And they, if you read the third Sunday text, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter is so charged. This man, this apostle, who even after the resurrection, who was still locked behind locked doors and frightened, and who wanted to go back to his former occupation because he really wasn't going to do anything except go fishing again. The Holy Spirit comes and fills him, and for the rest of his life, he is the Pope. See, the body is Christ himself. Jesus is the head and we are the body. And the Pope is the central figure of that. He's the head of the church on earth. He's the vicar of Christ. And the apostles have their successors in the bishops. And the priests who are around them are the presbyteral group that the whole Acts of the Apostles talks about, that go out anointing and preaching and driving out demons. They're Christ in the world. And everyone who is baptized, when we look at the people in the church, they all are aware of their powerful dignity. So when we get in the instruction of the readings on the third Sunday, is that the apostles come alive, and what Christ was doing, they do. They do the same thing. They preach, they heal, they drive out demons. They are so powerful, and they're particularly powerful in evangelizing, just exactly what we were talking about. They go out and preach and teach. But their lives are in the letter, not only the Acts of the Apostles, but in the third Sunday, we also have this letter from John. My little ones, he calls us, I am writing to you to keep you from sin. We have in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, an intercessor who is just. He is an offering for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of for those of the whole world. Jesus, he is the sin offering for the whole world. The way we can be sure of our knowledge of him is that we keep his commandments. The one who claims to have known him without keeping his commandments is a liar. In such a one there is no truth. But whoever keeps his word truly has the love of God made perfect in him. That's who you are. That's who you are. That Jesus, who is in you, who has prayed for you, has brought you, as you keep his commandments, to be full of love and truth and grace. And then St. Luke, in his gospel, talks about these appearances of Jesus after his resurrection to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and to the apostles. And so the downcastness, the fearfulness that Jesus, the risen Lord, is bringing to the apostles pre-Pentecostal, his telling them, I'm going to make you witnesses of this resurrection to the whole world, but first of all, you yourselves must wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And so each Sunday, as we prepare for Pentecost, this is the third Sunday now. We had the first Sunday, the last Sunday was Mercy Sunday, and today, each Sunday, now we're looking forward and anticipating what? This fuller participation and call to be evangelizers. And that this community now, having received the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, we, having been united with Christ our head, are going to also be like those apostles of the first century of the Acts of the Apostles. And we are writing now another chapter in the history of the church. When we look at these 21 centuries, we're in the 21st century of the Catholic Church, to see how in each age and each time there were different challenges for the church of the Roman world, you know, those first centuries in which the church experienced tremendous martyrdom and went underground and then eventually transformed the whole world. And then again, it just continues to change and transform all of society with the whole aim of converting the entire world. And when we now talk about this message going out over the airways, going out to the entire world, that through this means in the digital sea, that the whole world will be like, and this internet will be a net which will catch the fish. And through the messages, the Word of God, touching through the power of the Holy Spirit, the hearts of all of mankind, every human heart that hears the gospel is being called to salvation by God the Father, by Jesus, his Son, by the Holy Spirit, operating in and through the church today. Wow. How we're longing for Pentecost, for this new Pentecost to catch fire in the hearts of young people and of married couples and families, of those of us who are suffering and going through hardships, and those of us who are in the process right at this time of suffering physically, dying, and being transformed into Jesus by the Paschal Mystery. And there is going to be a resurrection, and it will be an eternal one, for it is that to which we're called.
I just bring so strongly the words of Christ, our hope. You know, he is the hope, isn't he? And we need to encounter him to experience hope.
Yes, yes, truly. Yes. And with him, once we encounter him, then the gloom passes. That's why it was so wonderful for me to be with this young man who was, you know, you could find so much misery in life, and you can be a Catholic, you can be whatever gifts you may have, but without the recognition of who you are in Christ, without him, all that can become very dark, very painful. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why I think so many are hopeless and despairing. Without Jesus, there is no hope. With him, there's powerful hope.
Do you recall in the political process we went through 4 years ago, where our entire country was crying out for hope? And yet, and many put them in the hearts of politicians, not to name anyone in particular, but there was just this, we need hope, we need hope. And yet 4 years later, there seems to be just as much despair.
Yes.
And if not,
yes,
anger, because we put it in a person or a process instead of him.
I honestly believe there are many who are listening to this message who are more Democrat or Republican. There are more, even to be at this particular time, American, to simply to say that I'm an American, or whatever that identity might be. What is our hope when we look at, and there is such a deterioration, because hopefully that more than just Americans could be listening to the message. You know, is your hope is because you're Japanese and you know how to build better cars, or you know how because you're Chinese? Is that your hope? Is your hope because of whatever? That is that where you place your hope? All of that is not going to, it won't last. There is only one hope, Jesus Christ. Now, the evangelizer has come to that point. What is the message that the church is meant to put forward? To hope in the American political system? It's worked for a couple hundred years, but it may not continue to work because the majority may not be pulling for what will bring prosperity and honesty and truth and these values to the people of America. Can that be possible? Yes, it is. There can be a failure on the part of Americans to be what they are called originally to be in their Constitution. So then there's going to be a failure. And I think some people are being disillusioned and despairing that that is going to happen. That's why there's like a malaise. How many people don't vote anymore? Because they see the failure of the process. It's not that there aren't good Republicans and good Democrats that this thing is failing. It's because so many have put their hope and their values in something other than our Lord. And he is the source. And that's what we're saying. We're not compromising. We're not backing up. Jesus Christ is the source. Jesus Christ is God. He is the strength. He's what brought the apostles through in the first century against the Roman might. Caesar was king. Caesar and the Roman Empire was the greatest. Where is it now? It tumbled and fell apart. Jesus, the Galilean, the Nazarene, Jesus Christ, King, has prevailed. That same empire is going on. The successor has been Benedict, and it has triumphed. The same is true of the church today. Jesus Christ is the most powerful. Jesus Christ is the King. And that's what Peter preached, and that's what we have to preach today, effectively. And so we, who are the modern apostles and the modern evangelizers, come forth with this truth. And you can become part of it. And you have a power to become part of it through sanctifying grace, which you received through your baptism, through the graces you received through confirmation as evangelizers and distributors of the gifts of the manifold grace of God. And the same power which you can effectively bring about through the reception of Holy Communion and your oneness with the body and blood of Christ, through your periods of adoration.
Yeah, it's that moment what we see in the Gospels where Jesus comes before the apostles and once again shows them his wounds and then says, touch me.
Yes.
Look at this. Yes. I'm not a ghost. I am real. But it's in that, even through our suffering, we still have to be present. We still have to have presence within the heart of the community. We can't hide, especially when we've had sufferings and we've had that awareness that Christ is our hope, and we have to share that reason for our hope.
This Sunday you'll hear that Jesus said to those apostles, thus it is likewise written that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. In his name, penance for the remission of sins is to be preached to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are to be witnesses of this throughout the world. Beginning in Jerusalem, and that's where it started. And now this same thing throughout the world, Omaha and Pennsylvania and Indonesia and India and wherever you may be listening to this. This is the hope of the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came and he suffered, he died and he rose. And be witnesses of this throughout the whole world. The gospel needs those who live it and experience it, that it might be preached. And we really have, I think, those who may understand it and know it, but not experience it in their hearts.
Any final thoughts on the reflections for this Sunday's gospel?
I think one of the things that strikes me, I may not have said it this way yet, that Jesus and God has chosen to need you in order for this to occur. There is that story they tell in World War II, when the GIs, the American soldiers, came across this church in France where there was a statue of Christ that was all smashed. And they cleaned up the church and they rearranged all the pews and so on and cleaned it to the best they could. There was so much rubble. But when they put this statue together, there were no hands. And beneath the image of Jesus in his Sacred Heart was, I have no hands but yours. And that's really what Jesus is saying in the gospel on this third Sunday. I have no hands but yours. I need you to be alive in this 21st century. I need you to be alive to bring the gospel to the world today. I'm depending on you. I am in the Blessed Sacrament. I am in the presence. But without you and your body, I need you, your mind, your heart. You are my hands and you are my heart in the world today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor Essef.
Thank you. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.